have your Bibles tonight. Psalm 77. I'm sorry it's a little warm tonight. We changed the computer system on Saturday, and it knocked off our units. But they're back on now, and you'll notice it getting cooler. How many of you can tell the air is starting to stir around now? Starting to notice it. It'll get better quickly. We have 80 million tons of air conditioning in this building, and when we crank it up, it'll get going. So it will take care of it. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you turn to Psalm 77, Psalm 77, Psalm 77. What you notice tonight, we have been going through difficult days for the last several months. No one knew what life would be like in January, what it was going to be like in May. None of us knew. None of us knew the trouble that was coming. I mean, none of us knew. If I would have told you on the last Sunday of June, everybody's going to come to church for our business meeting is going to have to wear a mask, y'all would have shot me. Pastor, we're not wearing masks. Why would you ever do that? Well, I can't think of a good reason except the governor said so, okay? And we're trying to keep the spread down, blah, 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 blah. We would not even have a frame of reference to what that would be like. But now we do. So when difficulty comes, when trouble comes, how do we handle it? I want you to see in the Psalm 77 how Asaph, he was a musician, much like Nadia. Boy, just beautifully played tonight. He was a musician. And he had some trouble come in his life. Don't know exactly what it was. But you'll notice in verse 1 of Psalm 77, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. It sort of maybe could be a physical trouble. My sore, my difficulty ran in the night and ceased not. Maybe it had some boils like Job. But you'll notice he says, my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Now, Hebrew word for overwhelm is faint. It is not able to bring enough strength to go on. The perfect example is in 1 Kings chapter 19, where we have the story of Elijah. He's won a great victory, and he's under the juniper tree, and he says, Lord, I can't go on. Just take me on to heaven. It's a perfect example of what happens when we're overwhelmed. It literally is when something is too heavy for us to carry. This past week, we are cleaning out things. We're taking advantage of this COVID-19 thing and the lack of the ability to do our normal things, to do unnormal things, such as cleaning stuff up and getting rid of things that we don't need anymore. And so we were in one of the rooms down there where we had all kinds of stuff stored. And as they were cleaning, all of a sudden they noticed this one big plastic box. And it had all kinds of old stuff in it, Sunday school type stuff. But it was filled with water. And it smelled awful. And it had been there for a long time. And we had a leak in the room a year or two ago, got the leak fixed and didn't realize it got in that box. And so I said, look, I just moved the box for you. It was a lady down there. I said, I'll just move the box for you and reach down and grab the whole thing. Well, I'll get Brian and some other guys to move that box, okay? Because it's not going to move with just one person. And then I had on some nice clothes, and I said, I got to get on some junky clothes because if I pick that up and it bursts, oh my goodness, I'm not going to have a mess. And so the idea of I can't pick it up, or I can pick it up, but I'm struggling with it, and I got to have somebody to help me because it's too heavy, is the Hebrew word overwhelmed. I can't go on. Have you ever picked up something, you thought you could carry it, and then all of a sudden began to slip? That's this word. I'm getting overwhelmed. Ever been carrying a piece of furniture? And all of a sudden your strength begins to go, and you feel like you're gonna drop. You gotta put it down. Overwhelmed. Now notice, if you would, he says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. We'll come back to that in a minute. Notice in verse number 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times, and I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, I meditate, and my spirit made diligent search. Will God cast off forever? I began to wonder where God was. Take just a minute. Go back through Scripture. I'm sure Job, from time to time, had the thought, Lord, I need you. Where are you? I'm certain Joseph had the thought when he heard his brothers say, good riddance for 20 pieces of silver. But hey, y'all, if you remember in Genesis 50, they were talking after their father died and said, do you remember? We remember the anguish of his soul when he left. He was overwhelmed. And every one of us come to, notice in verse 2, the day of my trouble. I can remember growing up and going in for a math test or going in for an English test. I can remember going for a Greek test in school, in college, seminary, and thinking, wow, and being a little bit overwhelmed. The day of trouble can be anything. It can be you are a wife and you're trying to make dinner and it's not going well. And what are you going to explain to your family if you're young and, you're trying to make things work? Maybe you got family coming over. It's a big dinner and you're under stress. Well, if I could give you the word trouble, it is tightness. It is anguish or distress. It's adversity. And the distress is so much that you can't go on with it for very long. Now, the word patience is the opposite. It's the word for being under a load, hupomeno. It's to be under a load, but carrying it. You're able to maintain the weight. But overwhelmed is when you have it, but you can't make it much further. And you know it. So, what do we do? Well, this trouble could be physical. It looks, you'll notice here, he says, my sore ran in the night. Could have been like Job, as he took broken pottery and scraped his arms because the pus from the boils that the old devil gave him would just run. Could be something like that. Elijah was under the juniper tree. It was no physical illness, but there was a mental anguish as he was fearful for his life. What about Gideon? When God said, I want you to win the victory, and he's standing there with 10,000 and he sees the Lord says, that's too many. And it gets reduced to 300 and he says, oh my Lord, 10,000 is nothing compared to that mass of humanity of the Moabites down there. And now you've gotten it to 300. Now what am I going to do? The day of trouble comes. It could be the Ethiopian eunuch. He's riding in his chariot. He's reading Isaiah and he wants desperately to know how to get to heaven. But he has no clue and he's reading something that doesn't make sense to him. And it's like, I'm just overwhelmed. I want to know how to get to heaven, but there's no one to guide me. Maybe it was Paul and Silas. Been thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. So at midnight they began to sing. Maybe it was Peter. James has just been killed. John the Baptist has just been killed. And now they've taken Peter and he's next. And he knows it. And everybody knows it. So the church gets together and they begin to pray. Oh Lord, please deliver Peter. And if you remember, Peter's asleep between two guards. He knows there's nothing he can do. So he's not overwhelmed. He's trusting the Lord. And he gets up. The angel taps him and he gets up. He thinks he's in a trance. He thinks he's having a dream. How many have ever had a dream so real? You thought it was real and you woke up and said, where is that elephant? Where is that lion or tiger? You woke up and thought you were right in the middle of a dream. And you thought it was real. Anybody ever done that? So here he wakes up and all of a sudden he's thinking, this is a dream. He's thinking the opposite. And then he gets outside the prison and he says, wow, this is real. I'm free. So he goes up to the house where everybody's praying, knocks on the door. A little maid comes up and says, it's Peter outside. And they said, would you be quiet? We're praying for him. He's in prison. No, he's outside. No, we're burdened for him. We're overwhelmed with worry and fret. He's outside. God's already answered. Would you leave us alone? We're trying to carry our burden. Trouble comes in many different ways. It can come in a discrepancy between you and your boss. It can come in a disagreement between you and your mate. It can come in a troubled time between you, brother or sister. We all know when there's something that's there between us. Trouble. And if it burdens us, then it's trouble. It's a distress. We lose a job. We're trying to find another one. We have all the credentials in the world to get another job, but we don't have one yet. And the gap that's there causes fear in our heart. We're having trouble. Well, sometimes the old devil doesn't just attack us physically. Sometimes he doesn't attack what we currently have. Car breaks down. Tire slap. Battery quits. Lose our job. Sometimes he attacks our dreams. Things we don't have but want, and things we've prayed about and feel like we could have, and he attacks those dreams. Sometimes those can be the most devastating. He attacks our bodies. He attacks our possessions. He attacks our dreams. And the goal is to get us to complain. To get us to, where is God in all this? To get us to complain and to blame the Lord. Well, tonight, I want you to notice we have to learn how to handle it. And different people handle it different ways. You'll know that Joseph, he's in prison. Okay? And he handles it in such a masterful way that every time, and you remember before he went to prison, he was in Potiphar's house and he was tempted every day. And he had no way out. He's a slave bought and paid for by Potiphar. He's in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife wants him. And God says no. And so he's between God and Potiphar's wife. And there's no solution. And so what does he do one day? She grabs a hold of his coat and he runs for his spiritual well-being. And in exchange for that, he's thrown into prison and lied about. The day of trouble has come. And from then on, he's in prison. And he's there. But every time he gets sold, he rises to the top. Because he does these things in Psalm 77. And I want to encourage you tonight that when trouble comes, no matter what it might be, when something comes, it's a little more than you can carry. And I would suggest this. All of us try too hard much of the time. We get some trouble that comes our way and we try to carry it a few steps too long without crying out to the Lord. Or now, how many of you have ever had this, guys? Your wife gives you a peanut butter jar or a jar of pickles or a jar of something that she cannot open. How many have ever had that happen to you? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Okay. All right. And so she gives you, says, "Hey, honey, would you open this jar?" You say, "Sure." You go, "Oh," and didn't open. What do you do? You say, "Well, that's hard, honey." No, you don't. You turn your back to her and you get over and you go, "I'm going to get this jar open no matter what." And because you don't want to be embarrassed. Your wife, you want her to think that you can do it. And so, you know, you tap it on the edge of the side, kind of loosen up a little bit. You run hot water under it. You don't let her see it. You do everything you can to try to get that jar open. At the very end, you take a hammer and bust it open and you use a spoon and just dip it out. That's what you do. You're just trying your best to get it open. Well, as you're trying to get that open, you're really trying to get that open. There's sometimes where we just try too hard. And we ought to just say, "Lord, I need your help." It reduces the stress and it shortens the time of difficulty. Because think of this. The day of trouble is not so much the day of trouble if someone there helping us carry the load. It's not so much of a weight of the world is on my shoulders and all is lost. If the Lord is there and I know it and we're walking together, there is a sense of peace in my heart. There's a sense of it's okay. There's a sense of calm in my heart. And that's why in the day of the storm, Jesus Christ is asleep in the ship because he knows the power in his voice and in his hand. He knows he can get right up and say, "Peace, be still," and the water and the wind will cease immediately. But the sailors didn't know that. Now, why is it that time after time after time, every time a day of trouble came to those disciples, they always panicked? They didn't say, "Let's go to Jesus." Because it's not our nature to immediately ask for the help of the great God of heaven. We want to try to, "I can do it. I show him I can do it. I'm not." We want to try it ourselves. And so as a result, we carry trouble longer than we should. So immediately when trouble comes, learn what to do with it. Well, you notice, if you would, very quickly, I want you to just take a look at the outline here in this passage, really. Psalm 73, notice if you would. One, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. The first thing we do is we believe God can help. We go to the Lord. You begin to say, "Lord, could I talk to you about something? I've got this trouble in my life. Lord, could I lay it out for you? Would you help me tonight? Lord, I need you." Now notice, this is not just, "Okay, Lord, I've got a $20 bill here. I don't really know how I'm going to pay for this. Or I got a $200 utility bill. Lord, I need to, could you help me with this?" It's not that. It is an orphanage in England, and the owner of it has got 100 kids sitting at the table with nothing to eat, and their bowls and forks there and spoons there, and it's breakfast time. And so the owner gets down and begins to pray and saying, "Oh God, I got to have food now. Lord, would you answer?" And he fully expected when he got up to hear this. "Can you use milk, bread, and some pastries because my truck just broke down? My cart broke down. Could you use it?" We learn to trust the Lord like that. Notice, if you would, we believe in him. We go to the Lord quickly. I cry to the Lord. We go to the Lord with passion. We go to the Lord with our heart poured out. I cried unto God with my voice. You'll notice in verse number 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. The first thing you and I do, we must learn to say, "Lord," we get that jar, we're going to try to open it up rather than saying, we go say, "Lord, I've tried it, but I need your help." We learn to seek the Lord very quickly. No reason to carry the stress and the weight in the world. no reason to carry our pride and say, oh, I don't want people to think that I can't handle this. We learn to say, Lord, would you help me? He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you freedom from the trouble, from the pain of the trouble. I'll help you. Now, I'm not always going to remove the trouble, but I'll give you the victory over the worry. And quite frankly, that's really what we're looking for. Because we know he has the money if it's financial. We know he has the power if it's health. And we know he can fix anything if he chooses. Notice if you would. But number two, we cannot consider Satan's thoughts. Look at verse number 3. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. We cannot say the things that Satan wants us to say in our heart. We cannot complain about our circumstance. We cannot say this is not fair. Why isn't so-and-so going through this? Why isn't this person have the same trouble? Why is mine always worse? Why am I always... We can't do that. We cannot complain. We can't notice, if you would, we can't ask in verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? We know the answer to that question. The answer is no. So why even ask it? Whenever something happens and we look at our wife and say, honey, do you really love me? Why even ask the question? You know the answer. Yes, I love you. When a child is little, they need to go to the doctor. And you take them to the doctor, and the doctor brings a shot out this long. At least it looks that way to them. And they come over to where your child, and the child starts screaming and comes to you, Mommy, save me. Mommy, help me. She says, well, this will be good for you. They have to learn to trust you. And if they trusted you and took the shot and it wasn't that bad, they said, well, how was it? Well, it wasn't that bad. But the fear of it makes it far worse. And so we have to learn to trust our Heavenly Father rather than saying, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? Because he's always right there. You'll notice, look in verse 10. Number one, we cry out to the Lord. Number two, we don't consider Satan's thoughts. But number three, notice, we remember back to the good blessings of the Lord. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember thy wonders of old. Why it wasn't it that Elijah didn't remember 2 days before, where he called out to God and God brought fire from heaven. He saw the altar consumed. He saw the offering consumed at his request. He saw, Lord, would you send rain? And when he saw the little cloud, he says, oh, it's going to pour down rain. And it came a mighty rain, so that Ahab hardly couldn't get down from the mountain because it rained so hard. He saw God's direct answers and his power. Verse number 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. One of the things we must do when we begin to doubt, where is God? When we begin to complain because we think the way the old devil suggests, we must always go back and remember and say, Lord, I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. And Lord, I know you'll do it again. Remembering strengthens faith. You have to learn to remember. If you're going to get past the overwhelming fear of a day of trouble, you have to remember what God has done in the past. If Israel would have just done that, do you realize that the disciples get into the boat, they cry out to the Lord, Lord, help us. But they had just come from feeding the 5,000. Why didn't they just remember back and say, Lord, you fed 5,000. That was impossible. Would you take this storm and take care of it? It's impossible too, Lord. Would you do that? That's what he wants us to do. Remember what he has done. It is a good thing to go around the room from time to time at the dinner table, to go around the room at Christmas time and remember the goodness of the Lord. Remember the things that God has done for us. Notice in verse number 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the works of old. You must teach your children to remember what God has done. That's why it's important for parents to sit down and share with their children the difficulties sometimes and to say, let's pray together. Because there is a God in heaven and He always answers. And when we get that answer, we can say, look at what God did. And it strengthens their faith. But if we don't do that, if we get overwhelmed and we complain, our children become just like us. And they have no trust in God. God is there. The Lord loves you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And there's no reason to ask, where are you, Lord? He is here. I love the passage in Psalm 139 that I see you sitting down and you're uprising. God watches you every second of every day. He's in love with you. I don't know why, you or me. But I know He is. And He's constantly there for us. He said, I'm always there with you. But the old devil says, ask where is He? Ask why He's not helping. That's what Satan wants. Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. His wife broke and said, why don't you just curse God and die? You see, she didn't remember back to all the blessings that they had. Because they have been removed. And it's difficult to remember the good times when they've been removed. But you remember that God has been good to you. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Now, meditation is whenever you talk to yourself about what God has done. You lay awake at night and you begin to think back of all that God did. When you become lonely, you think back of all the things God did for you previously, and it encourages your heart. He's going to do something again to take away this emptiness in my heart. Elijah should have known that. You have to look at it from the point of view. You have to remember back, but just remembering is not enough. You meditate on it. You run it over and over and over in your mind. Sort of like a cow chews the cud. It goes over and over and over and over. It is something that we remember and it becomes fresh in our minds. He said, I will meditate of all thy work. I will think about it. I will go over it until it's fresh in my mind. And then I know and remember what God can do. Now, notice if you would. Look in verse 6. He says this. I will call to remembrance my song in the night. I will commune with my own heart. There's a point where you have to sing yourself into encouragement. I remember being in school. I'm 18 years old. My father's gone. My mother grieves and is crying. I can tell her heart's broken. I'm in school. Don't really have enough money. And I'm working 20 hours a week. And I'm going to school 18 hours full load. And I get up at 5 something in the morning, 4:30 or 5, to go polish the brass in the fellowship room. The cafe. And so I'm polishing the doorknobs. And the old devil sits up and says, wow, your life's not fair. And for some reason, the Lord gave me a song. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. So that became sort of my theme song at 5 something in the morning. Now, I promise you, I wasn't little as much. I did not do that. But I would whistle it. And I would hum it. And when everybody else was going around the corner, I'd not sing it. Little as much. Mm-hmm. and my spirits were lifted. Because I realized that the Lord was there. A song in the night encourages your heart. When you're driving home, sing a little bit. If you're in the shower, sing a little bit. When you're carrying a weight, God has designed music for all of us. You and I need a song that lifts our spirit. My, as little as much. Now, I don't know if it's one particular song all the time. I'm a pretty mundane person. In other words, I eat the same breakfast every morning I have for 50 years, you know. I mean, oatmeal's fine with me, peanut butter and honey, that's great. You know, I could eat the same thing for supper every night. A filet and baked potato. That's about all I can eat, okay? So I don't know how to fix. I'm pretty the same. I get up every morning at the same time. I try to go to bed regularly at the same time. I try to have a pretty organized schedule. So pretty mundane, you might say. But when trouble comes, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown. You can win it. And I'm reminded that payday's coming. So I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to question God. And so I can remember that first year. I can remember taking my schedule and starting at 5-something in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, until 11 o'clock at night, and planning every minute. All the way through. I got to study for this class, study for this class, write this paper, do this, go to work, get back from work, go to ball practice, get done ball practice, go here, go eat lunch, 20 minutes for lunch, 15, 18 minutes for breakfast. I mean, if I could shave off a little time here, I can spend a little extra time studying here. I can remember from 4:35 in the morning, don't remember what time I got up. I think I had to be at work at 5:30 to 11 o'clock at night. Every minute. And I said, some days I got to the point where I went to bed at 11 o'clock at night and I laid there and I was exhausted. I said, Lord, I don't know if I can make it. Little as much when God is in it. When I need you, take my little bit of strength and make it a lot. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. And that is the way when David was looking at his 600 soldiers that had lost their wives and everybody had cried themselves into a panic to stone David, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. David had a harp. He would play that harp. Well, he didn't have a harp there. But I guarantee in his heart, he began with a song. And the Lord lifted his spirits. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now you'll notice, and I want you to see this. In closing, I want you to see a couple things. Take your Bible and turn to Lamentations 3:40. Lamentations, if you would. Lamentations. Famous passage, Lamentations 3:21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. What is it? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. I know He cares for me. So as we're thinking, we recall back and we say, I know Him. One of the things you and I have to do is get has enough familiarity with God. Everybody in this room, you need to study God and His works enough in Scripture. You ought to take the trouble that every man went through in Scripture and every woman went through in Scripture. Take Hannah and the trouble of having no children. And she figured out and said, I'm going to go cry unto the Lord. You take everyone that came to trouble and figure out what they did and you're going to find out. They all said, Lord, I need you. And they poured out their heart. They began to sing in their hearts. They began to recall the works of the Lord. And they began to remember that God is good. and that His mercies never fail. And they begin to remember the character of God. Notice, this I call to my mind, therefore I have hope. What gives me hope? That it is of the Lord's mercies. It's the Lord that holds me up anyway. I'm in trouble without the Lord no matter what. If I've got $10 million in the bank, I'm still in trouble without the Lord. Because $10 million doesn't buy health. $10 million doesn't buy friends. $10 million doesn't buy me peace in my heart. I need the Lord. Notice number two in there. He says, because His compassions fail not, He cares for me. Everybody in this room needs to understand one of the ways you combat the troublesome days is that God cares for you. And He has your feelings in His heart. He's a sympathetic God. Not just sympathy, He's an empathetic God. He takes it a step further. He wants to help. And you'll notice, verse 24, the Lord is my portion. He takes all of His attention off of Himself and when He doesn't have all the troubles He's facing, and He puts it on the Lord and says, the Lord is enough for me. He is my portion. Therefore, will I hope in Him. Now, look at verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Now, sometimes trouble comes because of sin. Sometimes you and I have done something. God's upset with us. And He allows trouble to draw us back to Him. To cause us to turn back to Him. I was talking to someone this week and I found out, I said, when did you get saved? How did you get saved? They said, I got saved after I got in trouble. And my mother was correcting me, and I realized that I was a sinner, and I wanted to get saved, and that's the way I got saved. Because I realized that I had done that which is wrong, and that the Lord would forgive me, and I wanted that. So a lot of times trouble causes us to turn toward the Lord. And so He says, look, I want you to be close with me. So He says, notice, let us search. Look at our lives, and I will never forget. I've told this multiple times, but Susan's laying in the hospital. I think it was like day 50-something. And she looks at me and says, honey, I just want you to know, all of this trouble is not because there's some sin in my heart. As far as I know, everything's right between me and the Lord. Now, between you and me, I had no doubt about that. But she wanted me to know that she had done a proper search, and there was nothing between her and the Lord. And this trouble was simply the will of God. Now, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Lord, I lay at your feet. I'm your servant. I need your help. God loves you. And He will strengthen you all the way through the trouble. Lastly, if you have your Bible, I want you to take your Bible and turn to James chapter 4. We'll close. James 4. Notice with me, if you would, verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. I think the last thing that we do is we want Him to know that we trust Him. And we want to learn to trust the Lord. And so what we have to do is we have to draw nigh to Him. How do we do that? All these other things allow us to draw nigh to Him. Learn to talk to Him about your burdens. Learn to clean up your life, your thoughts. And say, Lord, I want to get close to you. I want to be close to you. I want you to notice, if you would, take your Bible, and you'll notice in verse number, Psalm 77, if you would take your Bible and turn to Psalm 77, and notice with me, if you would, excuse me, Psalm 73, look at verse 28. Now, let me tell you the trouble of verse 7 of Psalm 73. Notice in verse 2, Psalm 73, verse 2. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, so what I've been doing is I've been looking at all the new chariots everybody's getting and all the new horses they're getting. And I've been seeing all the fruitful fields they've got. And I've gotten jealous because I don't have a new chariot. And I see their fields are so productive and mine's not so much. And so they got a better job than I do. So I was envious of them. And I said, boy, I'd like to be like them. They don't go to church. They don't love the Lord. They don't know much about the Lord. And I realized, you know, maybe I should be like them. And he said, my feet were almost ready to slip because I said, is it worth it to serve the Lord? Notice in verse 13. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. I've tried to live clean and it didn't pay off. I've tried to be innocent. I've tried to keep things right between the Lord and I. There's nothing between the Lord and I. My thoughts are clean. My words are clean. I don't curse. I'm not filthy of heart. I try to honor His word. And He said, it's paid me back nothing. Notice verse 14. For all the day long, I have been plagued and chastened every morning. I've been in trouble. And the guy that curses and tells dirty jokes and doesn't abide by any principle of God, he just has everything. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Ah, it just killed me. To realize I'm a Christian, I'm sitting in church on Sunday night, and it doesn't pay. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Do you understand that there is a God in heaven? And you and I are not going to change that, and He knows you, and He knows your name, and they may be blessed today, but there's coming a day whenever their feet start to slip. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 19, how are they brought into desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. There comes a day when they stand before God and there's no answer for them. And I stand before God and God says, welcome home. And that's payday. And so we notice, if you would, in verse number 21, thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. What are you living for? If you're living to get stuff, trouble will always derail you. But if you're living to try to please the Lord, He said, I'll walk with you. Just draw nigh to me. Notice verse 28. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So the final part of the puzzle is to draw near to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm facing these troubles, but I need you. I'm not going anywhere. That's what Job did. And in the end, the Lord gave Job twice as much as what he had at the beginning. God was twice as good to him. So today, God always pays more than you and I can give to Him. He has a bigger shovel than you and I have. If we give Him a little bit, He gives us a lot more. We give Him our heart, He gives us His heart. We give Him our dreams, His dreams are bigger. Tonight, when trouble comes, learn to say, Lord, I need you. I know you love me. I know you'll walk with me. I want to get up to you as close as I can. Would you put your arms around me and take care of me? I don't know where my next meal's coming from. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. But you and I have to say, Lord, I'm yours. Tonight, when trouble comes, draw nigh to the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. If you don't know the Lord personally as your Savior, would you consider trusting Him tonight? It is a one-time decision. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a decision that you have to make, that I want the Lord to be my Savior. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. It doesn't just happen because you come to church. You have to go to the Lord in your heart with your prayer and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you. I need you to be my Savior and take me to heaven when I die because I can't get there on my own. And the Lord said, I will. The thief on the cross, the woman at the well. It's the Scripture, Paul in Acts chapter 8. It's all through Scripture. God loves us. He wants to save you and He wants to help you through trouble. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Would you strengthen us even in these days of a pandemic? Lord, a worldwide distress, would you give us joy and victory in our lives? In your name we pray. Amen.